Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, folks. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. We want to welcome you to our program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of the Lord Jesus at the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church. And we do want to thank all of you for tuning in this Saturday afternoon, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, if you live in New England, we're coming to you live from Lincoln, Rhode Island. And boy, did we get some snow today. We've got maybe about 3.5 to maybe 4 inches of snow on the ground. So it looks like everyone's going to have a white Christmas. And of course, you know, Christmas ain't till next, next Sunday. And so Christmas Eve being Saturday, next Saturday. And then of course, Christmas Eve will be Sunday on a church day. And so that's going to make things a little bit more special. But we got about 4 inches of snow on the ground today. And, of course, you know, if you can hear it in the background, you got people out there that are using their snow blowers and just shoveling away. We had to drive in this stuff a little bit earlier today, and I had a dentist appointment. And so we were fishtailing a little bit here and there. But by the grace of God, the Lord kept us safe on the road, and we are back home. But we'll be going out later on today after the broadcast. And so I want to wish everyone out there a very Merry Christmas. And today we want to be politically correct and say Happy Holidays. And that's just to rob what rightfully belongs to the Lord. This is all about Him. It's His season. When we remember His birth 2,000 years ago. And speaking of that, next Saturday, I'm going to be talking about the festivities of Hanukkah in relation to Bible prophecy. And then, of course, you know, Hanukkah starts really late this year. Hanukkah begins on Christmas Eve, December 24th. It's an 8-day celebration in which the Jewish people for the last 2,600 years have commemorated the events that happened at around 168 B.C. with Antiochus IV Epiphanes, who was a Grecian of also Syrian descent. And, of course, this was one pretty bad individual, and he was just very anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, and just pretty much outlawed Judaism. But God, in His sovereignty, gave the Jewish people the victory over the Seleucids and cleansed the temple of Antiochus's abomination. And we look at someone like Antiochus Epiphanes, he is somewhat of a prototype of what the future Antichrist will do in a rebuilt third Jewish temple. And of course, Antiochus is described in Daniel chapter 11, verses 21 through 35. It describes his devious activities, but also describes him in Daniel chapter 8 as a little horn, just as it describes his future Antichrist in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, as a little horn as well. So Antiochus was somewhat a precursor, a forerunner of the future Antichrist. That's not to say Antichrist is going to come out of the Greco-Syrian Empire or some other Middle Eastern Arab Empire. Now we have this new doctrine going around that's teaching, you know, Antichrist Islamic, you know, doctrine, which I just think it's absolutely silly. And, you know, there are many out there that are teaching that stuff today. It's a fly-by-night doctrine that just started like 7-8 years ago with Waleed Shubat, and before you know it, all these other prophecy teachers have jumped on the bandwagon. It doesn't take much for someone to start some new type of doctrine and to get Christians to jump on the bandwagon. It doesn't take much at all. And so this stuff wasn't being taught 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's a new doctrine that just came out. And, of course, you know, Waleed Shubat, and so, I mean, the man claims he was a Palestinian terrorist who was in Israeli prisons, but when ABC did a report on him, Israeli officials said they have no record of Waleed Shubat being in any Israeli prisons or committing any type of Palestinian terrorism. From what I understand by a good friend of mine, Dr. Todd Baker of Zola Levitt Ministries, he is a staff theologian for Zola Levitt Ministries. Waleed Shubat just converted to Roman Catholicism. But you got, you know, Christians that are following this guy, you know, hook, line, and sinker, you know, just swallowing everything that he's teaching. And frankly, I don't think such a man should be followed. I think a man who teaches some type of doctrine like that is very dangerous. And when she Islamicizes everything in the book of Revelation, it's all Islamic, 666, it's Islamic. And he knows how to wrap up a package in beautiful tinsel and put a bow on it and say this is what it means. And so you got to be careful, folks, with stuff like that. And so, you know, we're going to be talking about this next week, Lord willing, Saturday. We're going to be talking about this Saturday as we talk about Hanukkah, the festivities of Hanukkah. Did Jesus and his disciples as Jews celebrate Hanukkah in the New Testament? Is Antiochus Epiphanes IV a precursor to the future Antichrist that will come on the world stage sometime after the rapture of the church? Well, we're going to be talking about all these things next Saturday. I'm also going to have in the background beautiful Hanukkah lit. Because, folks, you can also watch these audio radio programs on YouTube. We record them on YouTube. We put them up on YouTube for our YouTube subscribers to watch. And so I hope that you will take an opportunity to follow me on all the social networks. You know, you can follow me on Facebook, simply August Rosado. And, of course, you can send me a friend request. You can also look at all of my news articles on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, August at Bible_prophecy. That's my Twitter handle, Bible_prophecy. And I have all the major news outlines, news events right there on my Twitter account, breaking news stories and new developments, just like we're going to be talking about on today's show, a news event that was reported by Breaking Israel News, and we're going to be looking at that today, concerning could there be a possibility of an electromagnetic pulse attack upon the United States of America. And does Joel predict such an attack? Well, we're going to be looking at that on today's program. So those are just one of many news stories that we have on my Twitter handle, August Rosado at Bible_prophecy. You can also follow me on LinkedIn, simply Evangelist August Rosado. If you get into LinkedIn, I'm not on LinkedIn a lot. I just upload shows onto LinkedIn. And then, of course, I give, you know, heads up that we have a show coming on, but I'm not really on LinkedIn much at all. But if you are on LinkedIn, then you can, you know, look up all of my past radio broadcasts and so on and so forth. Also, you can go to my website, my new website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. That's todayinbibleprophecy.org. You can go there and you could look at all of my pictures from Israel, Rome, our audio and video. And then, of course, you know, on the website, we have a secure PayPal button for those who would love to support our ministry. If you've been following us for a while, you've been blessed by the study, you've been blessed by the teaching, then you can help support us on a one-time basis or a monthly basis. However the Lord leads, you can scroll right down to the very bottom of the website and you can click on the secure PayPal button and you can do exactly that. My wife and I will be leading an 11-day Bible prophecy tour to Israel, March 25th, through April the 5th of 2017. This is going to be an 11-day Bible prophecy tour in which we'll be not only in Israel, but we'll also be in Petra in southern Jordan. So you're going to get two countries for the price of one. The tour price is $3,650 per person, all-inclusive. That includes your connecting flights, round-trip airfare, hotels, buffet, breakfast and dinner, daily transportation. All of that is covered under that price. Two countries for the price of one, Israel and Petra in southern Jordan. I'll be teaching Bible prophecy on all locations. So if you'd be interested, you'd love to come with us to Israel, then you can send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. You can send me an email with any questions, or if you have a contact number, I'll be more than happy to contact you with any questions that, excuse me, that you might have. And so we'd love to have you join us on a Bible prophecy tour of a lifetime there in the land of Israel, where it's all going to unfold and where it's all going to come to an end. Of course, in January, I'll be leaving for Israel, just me and another individual, Dr. Todd Baker. We'll be going there for 12 days to evangelize the Jewish people. We'll be passing on complete Hebrew Bibles while we are there. And so if you can please help us out with that, that would be greatly appreciated. You can designate your support for Israel Gospel Outreach. So again, go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. Click on the secure PayPal button. Designate your gift to Israel Gospel Outreach. And that will help cover the car rental expenses out there and other expenses that would incur while we are out there. And so we would really greatly appreciate that. And so what I'm going to do right now, folks, is I want to read out of the book of Joel, chapter number 2. And, of course, I'm going to look at a news story that was broken by the Israel Breaking News. And, of course, or they call it Breaking Israel News, Latest News Biblical Perspective. And they say, does the book of Joel refer to deadly electromagnetic pulse? And so I caught this news story, it caught my eye, and so I'm like, I think this would be appropriate to talk about on today's program. But I want to look at Joel chapter number 2 and verse number 31. And it says this in Joel 2:31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. But, of course, we know that Peter the Apostle in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 20 quotes out of Joel chapter 2 and verse number 31. So this is why we call this inductive Bible study, because we compare Scripture with Scripture. And so he says in Joel, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day, or the dreadful day of the Lord come. Now, we know that this was not fulfilled in Peter's day, because none of these cataclysmic events took place during Pentecost. So Peter never said that this was fulfilled by the prophet Joel. He said this was spoken of. Words mean things, folks. He said this was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So none of these cataclysmic events, these heavenly convulsions, did not take place in Peter's day. This was something that was yet future. So again, Peter, in addressing the crowd at Pentecost, he said in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken, not fulfilled, spoken by the prophet Joel. So Joel talks about these cataclysmic events, these heavenly disturbances, if you will. And, of course, we know Jesus in his Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter number 24. And, of course, you know, he is on the Mount of Olives with his disciples 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives is one of my favorite places to visit when I take my tour groups over there to Jerusalem. And Jesus is giving the very first Bible prophecy conference in human history there on the Mount of Olives in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. Of course, the Mount of Olives will play a major role in Bible prophecy, because we know that in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, Jesus is giving a preview of future world events. And then, of course, it was from the Mount of Olives that Jesus ascended back up into heaven in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 9. But then we also know, based on Zechariah 14:4, that when Jesus returns at the end of that 70-year period of tribulation, at his second coming, and then we know that his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. So the Mount of Olives is going to play a major, major role in Bible prophecy. But look in, you know, at Matthew 24, verse 29, this is a second coming passage. Many who hold to the post-tribulation view try to say that this is the rapture. No, this is not the rapture here. This is a second coming passage here, the coming of the Son of Man. He says immediately after the tribulation, after that seven-year period of those days, shall the sun darken and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. By the way, this also did not happen in 70 A.D. as preterists try to cram down our throats in saying that Jesus returned in 70 AD, and so there's no future return, there's no prophecy to look forward to. None of this, there's no future eschatological events to look forward to. Well, you know, when were there cataclysmic events that happened in the skies in 70 AD? Well, it's just simply not there, folks. It never happened. So Jesus did not return in 70 AD, as the preterists try to teach. There's so much nonsense being taught in the church today in terms of eschatology. It's absolutely mind-boggling. Then he says in verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and with great glory. What's interesting about verse 30 is that at the rapture, when Jesus comes for his church, well, not every eye is going to see him. Paul in his rapture passages in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, he never describes that as a public event. That's only in relation to the church. So it's not a public event. But when we look at this second coming passage right here, it seems like it's a public event to me, because he says, all the tribes of the earth. So that means every eye is going to see him. That's Zechariah 12:10. I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Romans 11:26, Paul says, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And in Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 1:7 and Matthew 24:30 are parallel passages. This is inductive Bible study. We compare scripture with scripture. We allow the Bible to interpret the Bible. If Christians can only get that concept down and allow the Bible to interpret the Bible and exegete the text, take the true meaning out of the text rather than eisegeting it, putting your own thoughts and ideas into the text, which that's what they're doing. If they would stop eisegeting the text and exegeting the text, draw the true meaning out of it, we wouldn't have the nonsense that's being taught in the church today. And then verse 31 says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. This will be Israel and the saved nations of the world, those who got saved during the tribulation period, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The four winds is not talking about, it's not talking about the heavens, the third heavens that we're talking about, folks. Okay, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. The four winds of the heaven refers to the four corners of the earth. He will gather his elect, the saved of the tribulation period, from the four corners of the earth. We find many passages when it talks about the four winds of the heaven as the four corners of the earth. So this is not talking about a post-tribulation rapture. At the end of the 70-year period of tribulation, a trumpet is going to sound, and will gather the saved of the tribulation period, those who came to faith in Jesus as their Savior. And by the way, folks, this is because of the preaching of the gospel in the tribulation period. By who? The church? Well, no, the church isn't even there. Folks, as a matter of fact, the church is not even mentioned in Matthew 24. The church isn't even mentioned as being on the earth in the tribulation period between Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 19. The church is not mentioned once as being on the earth. And I know that, you know, those who try to put the church in the tribulation period will misinterpret and allegorize and spiritualize the passage and try to put the church in there. You have no rhyme or reason to put the church in the tribulation period. No rhyme or reason whatsoever. Well, you'll have the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. They'll be preaching the gospel. Multitudes will get saved. The 144,000 in Revelation 7, they'll be preaching, multitudes will get saved. The angel in Revelation 14:6 preaching the everlasting gospel. Because of that, many are going to get saved in the tribulation period. But you can't put the church in the tribulation period. You can't even find the word church on the earth in the tribulation period between chapters 4 and 19 of the book of Revelation. You can't find the church in the tribulation period at all. It's amazing to me how Christians try to put the church that Christ gave himself for. I mean, yeah. Why would Jesus want to save you from going to hell, steal your salvation, but beat you up in the tribulation period? There's no logic to that, ladies and gentlemen, whatsoever. As a matter of fact, my good friend Dr. Dave Rakin produced a brand new DVD called In Defense of the Pre-Tribulation Rapture that we have available from our ministry by going to my website at todayinbibleprophecy.org. You can go to our store And you can order this video. It's $15 plus $3 shipping and handling. And we'll make sure that we get this DVD out to you. You know, because the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture is one of the most widely attacked doctrines in the church today. Think about this. If Satan hates a doctrine that's very important, man, he'll go out of his way to attack it. Like the virgin birth, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, all of those orthodox biblical doctrines are attacked by the cults today, you know, because Satan hates those doctrines. And, of course, when we talk about that the church will be delivered before the tribulation period, well, for crying out loud, Satan hates that with a passion. Think about it. The church is mentioned 25 times in the book of Revelation. It's mentioned 19 times before Revelation 4:1, before the tribulation period, and 6 times after Revelation 19:11, after the tribulation period. But in between chapters 4 through 19 of the book of Revelation that covers the tribulation period, you won't find the word church as being on the earth. If God was going to put the church in the tribulation period, he just would have said it. He just would have said it. He would have said church. The church is on the earth. The church is going through this. The church, it's not there, folks. Let's stop making things up, and let's take the Bible for its plain sense interpretation. And so Joel chapter 2. Peter quoting Joel 2:31 out of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 20. And he said in verse 16 of Acts chapter 2, this was spoken of, not fulfilled, spoken of by the prophet Joel. And then we see in Matthew 24:29-31, these heavenly convulsions, super divine cataclysmic events will transpire during the tribulation period, probably during the first half of the tribulation period. Now, folks, what's interesting is that, you know, I like taking all of my news articles from the secular sources. Of course, you know, one of them is from the Breaking Israel News, which gives a latest news from a biblical perspective. Of course, you know, the founder of this was Adam Eliyahu Berkowitz. And he's, I don't think he's a messianic believer at all, but he made Aliyah to Israel in 1991. And, of course, he studied Jewish law and received rabbinical ordination while there in Israel. And he says, does the book of Joel refer to deadly electromagnetic pulse attack? You know, we hear a lot about this, you know. Is this type of technology available today? Is it in the wrong hands? Is it in the hands of terrorism? Well, as an end-of-day scenario, that was impossible, even irrelevant, some 100, 150 years ago. I mean, not so long ago, people would scoff at something like this. But it's now being developed by America and Israel's enemies. They hate Israel. They hate America. They call America the great Satan. They call Israel the little Satan because of our support to Israel. And thank the Lord, praise the Lord, that we have an incoming administration that I believe will be more friendly toward Israel than the outgoing administration was for the past 8 years. But we believe that this technology is being developed by the enemies of America and Israel in a manner possibly fits into the biblical, eschatological, end time events in a manner that fits perfectly into Bible prophecy. Now, experts predict it could wipe out 90% of America's population and even render the military ineffective. But if used against our enemies, you know, it could possibly even go unnoticed. Now, an electromagnetic pulse, or called EMP, the abbreviation EMP, is a powerful burst of electromagnetic energy capable of destroying susceptible electronic equipment over a wide area. EMPs do not harm living organisms or physical structures like a nuclear blast would do. Single pulse can entirely disable a modern country like the United States of America by rendering all electronics useless. This would include your cell phones. This would include your computers, your iPads, anything electrical would wipe it right out and would also wipe out permanently the memories, excuse me, that is on computers. Now, shutting down electronics is more than an inconvenience because, folks, we rely on these electronics today, especially when we come to pay our bills, things of that sort, paying stuff online. Shutting down electronics is more than an inconvenience. It is the first it was first reported 11 years ago by the Congressional EMP Commission, and they warned that one EMP attack could kill up to 90% of America's civilian population within 1 year. Now, this is according to the Congressional EMP Commission, folks, okay? They say that an EMP blast could wipe out 90% of America's population, and within 1 year, it would develop starvation, disease, and societal collapse. Now, many believe, you know, prophecy experts say that this scenario confirms or conforms to how the prophet Joel described the end of days. And, of course, again, we read it out of Joel chapter 2 and verse number 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. In the Hebrew Bible, it says the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Hashem to come. Hashem is Hebrew for the name. Ha is the in Hebrew. Shem is name. So Hashem, the name. And so does Joel predict such an attack? Does the Bible talk about a massive loss of life during the tribulation period? I believe that it does. The most powerful source of an EMP is a high-altitude nuclear detonation. One specialized nuclear EMP device detonated around, say, 300, what they would call kilometers, over the center of the United States would generate an EMP field all over the 50 contiguous states. That's blanketed the whole entire United States. So you're looking like, say, about maybe 150, 175 feet into the air would explode, and then, folks, it would send us back into the Stone Ages. In an interview in September on Israel News Talk Radio, Rabbi Alon Anava discussed three possible end-of-day scenarios based on Zechariah. And, folks, what he did is that he went to Zechariah chapter 13. Most Jews don't even like this passage right here. Some would even think this is an anti-Semitic passage that talks about a second Jewish Holocaust. But in Zechariah chapter number 13 and verse number 8 tells us this: and it shall come to pass in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. So in other words, during the end of days, during the 7-year period of tribulation, two-thirds of the Jewish people will lose their lives at the hands of the future world dictator described as the Antichrist, 1 John 2 and verse number 18. You have about maybe 13 million Jews worldwide today, about maybe 6.5 million living in Israel, about 13 million or so worldwide. So two-thirds of 13 million Jews would probably be about 7.5 to 8 million Jews. That's more than the Holocaust, World War II, when Adolf Hitler murdered 6 million Jews. So about 7.5 to 8 million Jews will lose their lives during the tribulation period. So we're looking at about 8 million Jews. However, when you continue to read on, he says, but the third shall be left therein. So a third of the Jewish people will survive. So we're looking at about maybe 4.5 to 5 million Jews will survive this onslaught. What is God going to do with those surviving 4.5 to 5 million Jews? Well, verse 9, God says, And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, Am Israel, the people of God, the people of Israel. It is my people, and they shall say, notice the reciprocation that God's been longing for all these centuries. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Remember Jesus in Matthew, he said, Israel, the next time you see me, you're not going to reject me. You reject me today, but the next time you see me in the future, you're not going to reject me. The next time you see me, you will say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So I find it very interesting that a rabbi here, a Rabbi Alon Anava, you know, is quoting out of Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 8. He stated that one possibility for this massive amount of a loss of life, he said, is a nuclear-generated EMP attack. And this is what he said, and I quote, there are prophecies that there is going to be an 11-second war that can only be a nuclear war, noting that an EMP attack was especially likely. Such an attack, the rabbi said, would return America to the 18th century by completely burning out anything that has electronics in it. That would include your cell phones, computers, iPads, ThinkPads, any type of electronic equipment that you use, laptops, tabletops, it doesn't matter. It would wipe all of that out. TVs, smart TVs, it'll wipe it all out, folks. It will send us back to the Stone Ages. Joshua Wander, a member of the National Emergency Management Agency of Israel, told Breaking Israel News that an EMP is one of the scenarios they are concerned about. He said, folks, and I quote, EMPs are a force multiplier that can change the whole game. If a country like Iran or North Korea, by the way, those are two very dangerous countries. Iran and North Korea are rogue, terrorist, antichrist nations. He said, if Iran or North Korea got their hands on a small nuclear device, using it to create an EMP would be far more devastating than its blast effect, end quote. This is not a theoretical threat. I mean, we're not throwing around hypotheticals here, folks. EMP devices are now being developed by terrorist organizations to use against their more technologically developed enemies. According to Secure the Grid, a coalition dedicated to strengthening the resiliency of America's electrical grid, they say America's enemies are already developing the technology. It's pretty scary, folks. You know, you think of Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. You know, this past election, we're already accusing Russia of hacking into the presidential elections, even though no one has shown any proof of this yet. They're all talk, but no one's shown any evidence. We need evidence. Show us the evidence. Show us the proof. Don't just talk about it. Show us the evidence. I know that there's a lot of sore losers out there, you know, that, you know, wanted to see Hillary Rodham Clinton win. It didn't go that way. The American people spoke, and the electors need to respect the will of the American people. But, you know, there, Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran have already incorporated EMP attacks into their military doctrines and openly described making EMP attacks against the United States. So, folks, they already have that technology. It's there. They're just waiting for the opportune moment to use it. You know, Russia and Iran, I mean, these guys are tight, man. You know, Russia's over there in Syria. Iran's over there in Syria. Both of them are protecting Bashar al-Assad. Over 500,000 men, women, and children, Syrians, have already died during this five-year civil war with no end in sight. Russia has their fingerprints all over the Middle East. Of course, you know, Russia, spoken of in Ezekiel 38:39 as Gog, Magog. They settled north of the Caspian and Black Sea. That's where Russia is today. You know, Ezekiel 38, verse 2, then he talks about Gomer to Gomer, Meshach to Bol, Ezekiel 38, 2, Ezekiel 38, 6. Although Gomer to Gomer, Meshach to Bol make up the area of what is today the modern-day state of Turkey. Turkey has a president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, a radical Islamic president who says that the Muslim world needs to come together and defend Jerusalem. That means an attack on Israel. And Jerusalem's in Israel. That's Israel's capital. So you got Russia, China. I believe China is mentioned in Revelation 16:12, a 200 million man army coming across the Far East over the dried up Euphrates River, possibly also mentioned in Revelation 9:16, a 200 million man army. Iran, known in biblical times as Persia, until 1936, they changed their name to Iran. You know, it's interesting that you meant this news article is mentioned in major players in Bible prophecy. Russia, China. We don't know exactly where North Korea fits into all of this, but they'll probably be one of the many nations that will one day come up against Israel. Iran, we know, is in Ezekiel 38, verse number 5. They already have this technology, folks. According to their websites, their own websites, they say that they will use an EMP attack in the future on Israel and the United States. On the website, it says, indeed, Iran has practiced ship-launched EMP attacks using Scud missiles. Well, Saddam Hussein, well, he was once, I called him Saddam Insane when he was alive, but Saddam Hussein used Scud missiles that could easily carry chemical warheads on there. When he fired Scud missiles against Iran, has those same Scud missiles that can carry an EMP warhead on it. And by the way, which are in the possession of scores of nations and even terrorist groups today. Such an attack would probably target the East Coast, that's where we are right now, the East Coast of the United States, which, by the way, generates 75% of the U.S.'s electricity and supports most of the national population. Folks, even a small attack, could have a very, very large impact. In 2013, gunmen armed with AK-47 rifles attacked an electrical substation in Metcalf, California, severely damaging 17 transformers and cutting fiber optic cables. John Wellingoff, chairman of the Federal Energy Regulation Commission at that time, briefed the Congress on the incident. He told the Wall Street Journal that if a surprisingly small number of substations were knocked out, it could destabilize the system enough to cause a blackout encompassing most of the United States. Treated as a terror incident, it motivated lawmakers to begin legislation to protect the grid from attack. Now, folks, even if there is no attack, a crippling EMP can strike from heaven. It could be a divine EMP attack that would cause these heavenly convulsions, as spoken of in Joel and Jesus in Matthew 24. Coronal mass injections traveling over 1 million miles per hour frequently strike Earth's magnetic sphere, generating geomagnetic storms. Before technology became a mainstay, these storms passed unnoticed. In 1989, the Hydro-Quebec storm blacked out half of Canada for a day, causing economic losses amounted in billions of dollars, according to NASA. A NASA report, July 23, 2012, a massive solar storm that would have crippled electronic systems globally crossed the path of Earth, missing planet Earth by just 3 days. But can you imagine if that solar storm would have hit planet Earth? Folks, it would have been a non-human, natural EMP destruction. So whether this comes from man-made EMPs or a divine EMP, whatever the case is, folks, Joel 2, and Matthew 24. Even the book of Revelation sums up in Revelation chapter number 8, Revelation chapter number 9. You know, if you very quickly go with me to Revelation chapter number 9. In Revelation chapter number 9, and then when we look at these cataclysmic events that will happen during the trip. Actually, in Revelation chapter 8, it says in verse number 10, and a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became Wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as a third of them were darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. We look at that word, wormwood. It is the Greek word asthenos, which means undrinkable. But if you were to say wormwood in Russian, you know what Russian word you would come up with? Chernobyl. Chernobyl. That's how you would say wormwood in Russian. Chernobyl. Remember the Chernobyl nuclear power plant disaster that happened in the early 80s that resulted in many people dying? And even till this very day, the whole place is, that area is sealed off because you still have radiation spewing in the area some 20-something years later. And, of course, you know, I'll talk about a massive amount of life being lost. It said nearly 90% of the world's population, well, just America alone, 90% of Americans would die. Reminds me of the sealed judgments in Revelation 6:8 when one-fourth of humanity is wiped out. Then the trumpet judgments of Revelation 9:18, Revelation 9:15, Revelation 9:18, where another one-third of humanity is wiped out. So, folks, this is definitely not out of the realm of a possibility, whether it's a human EMP attack or a divine EMP attack. Whatever the case is, the book of Revelation does not paint a pretty picture of humanity in the not-too-distant future. But we know that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, who will one day come back and put an end to the nonsense that you and I see going on today. So we know that the cards are stacked up against America and against especially Israel, because we are two of the most hated countries on the face of the earth today, but especially the nation of Israel. But God has other plans, folks, and God will one day send his son back to this earth to right the wrongs of man. He will one day set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. He will reign from the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years, based on Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7, where he says six times that he'll reign for 1,000 years. Israel will be subjugated, and Jesus will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the kingdom to come. So if you're watching this program and you're saying, August, I don't want to be here when all this stuff unfolds. Well, you don't have to be, because the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church, folks, could happen at any moment, at any time. You say, August, how can I get ready for the rapture? Well, if you're not saved, the bad news is you're one heartbeat away from going to hell, a Christless eternity. The good news is you don't have to. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and shed his precious blood for you. You say, August, how can I receive God's free gift of eternal life? Just ask for it. Pray something like this. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. You died on the cross for my sins, Lord Jesus. You shed your blood for me. I repent of my sins today. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus. Forgive me. Make me a new person, a new creature, a new creation in you. Change and transform my life, Lord Jesus. Make me a child of God, born again through the Spirit of God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me today. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, if you pray that prayer, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Don't forget to visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Check out our news articles, videos, audios, pictures from Israel, Rome. And, of course, don't forget to join me in Israel, March 25th through April the 5th. We would love to have you come. Until next week, this is August Rosado saying keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.